in Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your Outdoors Hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
And welcome to the Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest running, 23 years, I think, the Maine Outdoors has been broadcasting, and we are so pleased you could be aboard tonight. And by the way, we have 12 days left, approximately, until the November deer season. So if you're a deer hunter like me, that it's something to get kind of pumped up about. I always get excited this time of year, been that way for, I don't know, Norm, more than 50 years. Isn't that incredible, huh? Wow.
Been a while.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a busy show tonight, so I'm going to, my job will be to kind of keep things moving along, but we have a busy show, but I think an interesting one. We're glad you could be with us. If you want to be on the program tonight, the number is 1-800-966-1039. Remember, that's even if you dial locally, you dial the entire number, and be sure to turn your radio down so you don't get that distracting echo. 1-800-966-1039. I'll introduce our guest in just a moment. First, the crew who make it possible every week. Besides yours truly, the engineer, the oracle of Grand Lake Stream, the man who knows his way around a tomato plant, Mr. Norm Plord.
Good evening, Paul. How you doing? Hey, good. I was thinking, the frost this morning, good frost.
Was it?
Over the years, I've heard that, you know, a good frost can sweeten apples if they're still on the tree.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah, the deer like them better after they've been frozen.
Even tastier for the deer. That's right. But I was thinking, that kind of brought to mind, is a nice frost, you know, because I just picked some apples today, too. So.
Oh, yeah, they're good this time of year. Anyway, we're glad you could be with us. And our co-host, Bob Lehman, is at his virtual phone booth over there in Brewer. He can't be in the studio because of the COVID protocols, but he will be with us by telephone to give a fishing report in just a couple of minutes. Our guest tonight, in this order, Alicia Cram, who is an outdoor woman, a real outdoor woman, and she has got her moose this year. Alicia works for us at the Northwood Sporting Journal. We'll be talking to Alicia about her adventure up north. And then after that, another friend of mine, Josh Platt, also scored with a big bull up in Aroostook County. We'll be talking to him about his moose hunt. Then after that, at 7:30, we're going to be talking to Dave Trahan. Dave, as you may know, is Executive Director of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. And Dave will be with us to give us kind of an update on every year during election time, they interview all the political candidates, and they rate them according to their sportsman-friendly attitudes toward all of the different issues, but particularly with regards to gun control. So we'll be talking to Dave Trahan after the 7:30 break. And want to remind you again, if you're interested in suggesting a guest for our program, we always welcome you to do so. You can dash me an email, and my address is vpaulr@tds.net. That's vpaulr@tds.net. And right now, it's time for Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. And we'd like to remind you again that we have a website worth checking out. And the November issue of the Sporting Journal hits the streets next week. We have a big whitetail buck on the cover. You can't miss it. Some great stories for deer hunters. Be sure to check it out. And if you go to the website, which is www.sportingjournal.com, there's a chance to read about the famous Hinckley buck, which still has the Maine state record for the heaviest buck ever taken in Maine. I think it's 65 years ago that happened. And Mr. Horace Hinckley was the lucky hunter who bagged that big bruiser. Let's see, a couple of things here in the digest. The Advisory Council, the Fish and Wildlife Advisory Council, will be meeting this Tuesday to decide a pretty important issue. The so-called GLOA petitions are being considered, and John Glower, of course, is a kind of an anti-hunting guy who introduced petitions, signed petitions, requesting that the Department of Fish and Wildlife consider banning all coyote hunting and coyote trapping in the state of Maine. This is serious stuff. These would be sweeping changes. And we're going to keep you up to date on that. That'll happen on Tuesday of this week. And basically, Gloa and some others have testified in behalf of their petitions. And I have some of the dialogue here, but I guess I probably don't have time for that. But anyway, that'll take place this week. We'll keep you posted on that. And then a kind of interesting, maybe you're already aware of this. I don't know if you are, but I did a I'm writing an article on ammo shortages in the state of Maine, and I talked with Dave Lorenz, who's the owner-operator of the Old Town Trading Post, a couple days ago. And Dave really enlightened me. I was just amazed to find out that you can't find – I was at Walmart, and their ammo shelf is completely empty. Most of the sporting goods shops have some ammo, but the ammo they have, Norm, is the Wildcat cartridges, the popular rounds like the 308, 30-30s, 30-06s. You can't get those. Did you know that?
No, I wasn't aware of that, but this would be a great impetus for people to get into reloading.
Yeah, I would think so. I got thinking about that. This is going to drive a lot of people to reloading.
I would think so.
But anyway, there is an ammo shortage. You cannot get 22s. You can't get many of the popular cartridges. You just can't find them anywhere.
Well, I know I went to get some shotgun shells at Dick's, and I was surprised at how sparse the selection was.
They have some, but it's really, and of course the manufacturers, because of the COVID closedown, are all backlogged with huge backlogs of orders. So it's going to take a while to bring all of the stuff back to normal. So be aware of the fact, if you're a deer hunter and you're out of 30-30s, you might want to start shopping now, because you may find it's tough to find those rounds.
Real tough, yeah.
So, and that's about it. I think we ought to bring in the band about this time, Norm.
About this time. Sounds good.
All right.
I'm the big boss, Bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob Lehman,
we can blame Jimmy Layton for that, you know.
Yeah, I know. Are you still eating your chicken pie? Last time I saw you, were eating chicken pot pie.
Well, we've been eating it here for a week.
Oh, isn't that great stuff? I love that chicken pot pie.
Oh, it's great. That's bought and hold in a homemade. It's really, really, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I had that. We had that down to the stream.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah. We did while we were fishing, great.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know how, we only ate half of it, and there was four of us.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. We highly recommend it.
Say.
Yeah, G&M Market in Holden, if you buy the chicken pot pie, it'll be the best thing ever happened to you. What's going on fishing world?
Well, you know, the Brooks and Streams got a breath of life this past
didn't we need it?
Oh, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Didn't they? Oh, man, they're running pretty good, too. Not like I'd like to see them, but
better.
But, they're running anyway, and that's the main thing. And now I think now the drought is pretty well busted. We hope, and we'll get some stream. You know, I was worried a lot so much about the trout and the other fish, but actually, you know, the aquatic life got hurt pretty bad too. If you don't have aquatic life, you know, and that stream, and a lot of it had to be dried up because they bury themselves in the mud. You know, the nymphs and things, they dried down deep and whatnot. But, you know, I suppose some will survive. Of course, they always do, and they always seem to do pretty well.
Yeah.
But the main subject tonight, of course, was last week, if you recall, I asked if you remembered the bristle steel fishing rod.
Right.
You had no idea. You were thinking something else. But there's a lot of other names for the same thing. It was a metal rod and a telescopic rod type thing. And it was popular at the time, right around the time that, way before graphite, and even before fiberglass, if you can believe that, and right around the time of the bamboo, when it was bamboo really quite popular. And it wasn't only Bristol who made them, it was Sampson, there was Union Hardware, which is big in those days, True Temper, Head and Pal, and Sears and Roebuck, I believe. And later on, another company by the name of Gephardt made a beautiful rod, which sold at the time somewhere around 1952 for $27.50. In the old days, though, back in the 30s and 40s, they sold for $10 or $12 or less.
Yeah,
and well, they were, you know, that's what it, all other kids had those. I'm surprised you didn't, you can't remember that, Paul.
Well, I had a before I became a devout fly fisherman back in the old days when I used to use worms like Jim Layton and Norm. I had a telescoping spinning rod that would fold down about a foot long, and when I hiked into a pond. It was easy to carry, and then you got to the pond, and you just, you know, stretched the thing out, and you had yourself a fishing rod.
I wonder if they got the idea from radio antenna, that telescope years
Same
ago.
Same idea.
You know, you know, they really did.
I'm sure.
And I've researched these things, and they really did. They got the idea from antennas.
Yeah.
To make these things. Okay. They really did. And, you know, they sold hundreds and thousands of them.
Yeah.
And just don't use one during a thunderstorm, so they say.
Yeah, right.
You know, all telescoped out and everything. Oh, it could be a little dangerous.
It could be, yeah.
It's really quite an interesting thing. They were handsome. Some of them were beautiful things.
Yeah, yeah.
They were a little on the heavy side, and they were awful hard to fly cast, you know. But,
I think so. Where are you out?
Another trouble they had, you know, once you bent one, and it was very easy to bend one.
It was all over.
It's all over. You couldn't get it together. You know, you had to bend it back, and then it was out of shape, and it was pretty rugged. But they were pretty popular thing. I would think that right now, if you can find an antique, it would be quite valuable.
I would think so, yeah.
You know, especially one of these companies that made them back in those days. It goes way back to the 30s. Now, that's 90 years ago, you know.
Now, do you have any bamboo rods in your possession with all your collection?
I have one that I've kept, but I've sold, I've had a couple of Thomas I sold, and I had Pendletons or whatever they are. I can't remember them all now, but I've sold every one of them.
What would a Thomas, what would a good condition Thomas rod be worth today, Bob?
Well, 9 foot isn't all that valuable. It depends on condition, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's a lot of threads gone and it hasn't been taken care of, it might be worth $100 or something, but if it's, you know, well taken care of with the case and the cloth sack and all that, it's probably worth between $200 and $300.
Okay.
But you get into a smaller size, like 7.5, if you can find one.
Yeah.
Those things go $700-$800.
Wow.
Even more if you know if it's been to a condition.
Yeah. Before we wrap up here, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah. Yeah,
I meant to ask you this earlier and forgot to do it, but would you be willing to donate one of your great streamer flies to our trivia question tonight?
Sure, I would be glad to.
Okay, I hate to put you on a spot like that. I meant to ask you
privately. No, not at all. I'd be very happy to do it.
Well,
I will. Yeah.
All right. We appreciate that, Bob, and very nice of you.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for that update, and we'll let you get back to your chicken pot pie.
One quick thing, and don't let me forget it.
All right.
I got some paperwork for you. Don't let me forget it, okay?
All right. I will drop by when I pick up Diane.
It's a warrant, actually, but that's all right.
Oh, a warrant. Okay. Well, it won't be the first time I've had a warrant. Yeah, okay.
All right. See you a little later.
Okay, then. Bob, thank you. All right, that was Bob Lehman, our co-host, speaking from his virtual phone booth there in Brewer with the Fishing Report. Again, our guests tonight, we're going to be talking to two successful moose hunters, Alicia Cram and Josh Platt, will be sharing their adventures with us. And then after the 7:30 break, we'll hook up with Dave Trahan from the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. Right now, we have a trivia question. Bob has agreed to give you one of his beautiful streamer flies, might even be a barn special, I don't know, if you can answer the question. And here's the question. The question is, you know that before the firearm season opens for everybody on the first Monday there in November, there's a special Saturday season for youth deer hunters called the Youth Hunt. And so my question to you is this. During the youth hunt for deer hunters on that Saturday before the November firearm season, when can a youth hunter not take a doe? When can a youth hunter not take a doe? Now, there's a certain condition, and we want you to give that to us. And if you think you have the answer, the number to call is 1-800-966-1039. And again, I'll repeat it. During the youth hunt for deer hunters this fall, which starts the last Saturday in October, when can a youth hunter not bag a doe? You ponder that, and we'll be right back.
Outdoors. Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, 95.1 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
Boy, that guy must drink a lot of coffee, huh?
Moving right along.
Yeah, okay, we want you to answer our question. We'd like to know, for youth hunters, when can they not take a doe? Let's take a call and see who has the answer. Good evening, you're on Maine Outdoors.
Yeah, this is Mike from Howland.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. When the WMD that they're hunting in does not allocate any deer permits, when there's zero deer permits.
That's exactly right. Congratulations, Mike. Don't you already have a subscription?
I do.
Oh.
I thought it was for a streamer fly.
Oh, that's right. It's for a streamer fly. Thanks for getting me straightened out on that. You're right. Yeah, you already have a subscription, and I don't know what that has to do with that. But anyway, we're giving away one of Bob's streamer's flies. Do you have one of those?
I have all kinds of flies from Bob. I've bought quite a few from him over the years.
Oh, okay. Do you have a barn special?
I don't believe I have one in a streamer fly.
Okay. Would you like to have a barn special?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right. You got it, guy. Congratulations to you, Mike.
He does a fabulous job on the flies.
Yeah, he's a beautiful tire. He does great, great work. And they work, too. I can vouch for them. They do work. Okay, anything else in your mind, Mike, before we hook you up with Norm to get your address?
No, just sitting back. When did you say the first year the show was?
23 years ago this year, I believe.
97,
I think. Yeah,
I thought it might have been 95.
Yeah. Have you been listening since the beginning?
I have.
Yeah.
Was there.
Well, you know, I wondered about that, and I don't have very good memory, so I checked with Jerry Evans, who used to be the owner of this radio station. He started it all, and Jerry said he thought it was 97 when Maine Outdoors first hit the air. So you could be right. Yeah. It might even be before that. I'm not sure. Based on what Jerry said, though, it would have been 97, which would be... What, 23 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, you've been with us since the ground floor. That makes you a plank owner. That congratulations to you.
Yeah.
You don't get anything extra for that except a pat on the back, Mike.
No, that's fine.
All right. If you'll stay on the line, Norm's going to get you address. He's pretty busy in there, but he'll get to you in a second, all right?
Okay,
thanks, Mike. Congratulations to you. Yeah. All right, that's the correct answer. During the youth hunt, it's okay to take a doe as long as you're not in a district where doe permits are not issued.
So you have Alicia.
Remember that. Good evening, Alicia. Are you there? Hi, Alicia. Okay, she there?
I'll have to call her back then because she's supposed to be there.
Okay.
All right.
All right. You want to give her a growler? Okay. Again, Alicia Cram is a successful moose hunter, and we want her to tell us about her adventure. And then after we talk to her, we have another successful moose hunter, Josh Platt from the Augusta area. And Josh also bagged a big bull up in, I think it was Zone 4, which is up there in northwestern Maine. We'll be talking to him about his hunt. And then at 7:30, we'll take a short break. And then after that, we're going to hook up with Dave Trahan, who's the executive director of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. And Dave is going to give us kind of a breakdown on Sam's endorsement of certain candidates. As you know, during every election, Sam interviews all of the candidates, and they rate them and try to figure out who is the most sportsman-friendly and who isn't. So we'll give him an opportunity to share with us that breakdown. And next week, we're going to be talking to Kent Wentworth from the Maine Antler Skull Trophy Club. And, of course, that's the organization that keeps track of all the trophy racks from the deer that are taken in Maine. And I thought it might be interesting just before deer season to have him tell us a little bit about their organization and some of the interesting things they do in rating different deer antlers and so forth. And they have a great collection, if you've ever seen it. Is Alicia standing by? Good evening, Alicia.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. For those who don't know, you are the circulation director for the North Maine. What's the name of our publication?
the Northwood Sporting Journal.
Thank you, Alicia. Thank you. And you know, there are outdoor women and then there are outdoor women. Now, you've done pretty well for a young hunter. You've got a couple of deer under your belt, right?
Yeah, I can't really complain. I got into it about 10 years ago, and so far I've got 3 deer and 2 moose.
Yeah, good for you. Wow, your freezer is always full. Hey, anyway, congratulations. I'm very proud of you, as we all are here at the Sporting Journal. You did it. That's a great job you did. Can you tell us and our listeners a little bit about your adventure? We'd like to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we went up a couple days ahead of time to do some scouting up there because we weren't sure where they were moving around.
Yeah.
And we saw some heavy activity on a road up there, so we decided to go there Monday morning first thing, see if we couldn't call any in.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that didn't quite work out. But we did hear some bulls fighting off in the background. That was really neat.
Oh, that must have been exciting.
Like that before.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. So the calling didn't quite work out like we had planned, so we did some road riding. And Tuesday morning, we decided to go to a different road. And that's where we saw our bull. He was standing broadside about 100 yards down the Twitch Trail.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, about 6:25.
This was your second bull, right?
Yes, in 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky, aren't you, when it comes to the draw?
I guess so. My
Man.
Goodness.
Yeah, you are some lucky. That's great. And so did you drop him in his tracks?
Well, he ran probably about 200 more feet down into the thickest stuff you could possibly imagine, of course.
Oh, they always do. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a heart shot, and he like I said, he ran a little ways. But he
oh,
could go
good
down.
For you, yeah. And what were you using for a rifle?
I was using my dad's rifle, my late father's rifle. It was a 30-06 Savage.
Ooh, that's a big gun for a little gal like you.
Yeah, I did some practicing. It was a scary gun at first.
Yeah.
You don't feel it when on the actual day. When
when the adrenaline's going, you don't even feel it. That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So did you have a time getting that critter out?
We did. We had 2 trucks, several hundred yards worth of rope, straps, you name it. We had a bed liner that we took down where the bull dropped.
Yeah.
A truck bed liner.
Oh, and you dragged it?
We were able to maneuver him onto that and drag him up through.
Okay. Did you have a power winch or did you do this by hand?
Nope, just by hand.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah. Took about 3 hours from when it went down.
Wow. Yeah. How much do you think did you have it weighed in Ashland?
We did. It was 714 pounds, 46-inch spread.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, about 100 pounds more than my first bull.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, you're an accomplished outdoors woman. That's great. Well, congratulations.
Hey, I can't complain, you know.
No, you can't. And, you know, don't forget to bring in a little few back straps for those of us in the office there, all right?
Don't you worry. I got plenty.
All right. Anyway, congratulations. We're very proud of you, and it's a great job you did. And we wish you the best.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, great job, and we'll be talking to you soon, Alicia.
All right, we'll talk to you.
And by the way, for those of you, before you go, those of you who want to get a subscription to the Journal, Alicia's the gal to talk with, right, Alicia?
Give me a call. That's right.
And what's the number?
What is the number? 732-4880.
All right. Okay, well, again, congratulations to you.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Good job. Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Alicia Cram, the circulation director at the Northwood Sporting Journal, who bagged her large bull moose for the second time. And now we have another moose hunter standing by, do we not? Are you there?
No, we got a phone call.
Oh, we have a phone call. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hello.
Hello, you're on Maine Outdoors. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question about bird hunting. No, it's not on the moose hunting.
Okay, go ahead.
In eastern Maine. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't see many birds down here, partridge wise. I guess they're all up north now. I don't see anything to do with the turkeys being down here, being territorial, stomping off the nests or anything like that. You guys have any?
You know, I hate to use it, it's kind of a platitude, but that is a very good question. And, you know, that question has been asked of the bird biologists. And to be honest about it, I don't think they really know. The best guess is it's always what's your first name?
Carlton.
You know, Carlton, it seems to refer back to habitat. And from everything, I haven't been bird hunting at all, but from all the reports I'm getting, there are an unbelievable number of grouse up north. And the farther north you go, the better the grouse shooting. And it used
to. I was a kid, though. Christ, they were thicker than hell down here.
Yeah, they were, but they're not now. Yeah. And if you talk to a biologist, the best guess they have, I don't think it has anything to do with the turkeys. A lot of people suspect that, but I think it's just a question. We don't have the farmland habitat we had down here. We don't have the apple orchards and the thorn apple trees we used to have. We just don't seem to have the habitat. But for some reason, they flourish. And you would think it would be just the opposite because it's colder and wetter up north normally. And you think during the brood season in May and June that it would be tougher up north. But it doesn't seem to make a difference. So that's the best answer I can give you. And that you're not the first person to ask that question.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Matt.
All right. Thanks for the call, Carl. Yep. Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good night.
You too. Okay, we're waiting to hook up here with Josh Platt. Is he there, Mr. Engineer? We're going to talk to Josh Platt about his moose here, I think, momentarily. And then after we do that, we'll take a short break, and then we'll hook up with Dave Trahan from the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. Is Josh there?
I'm here, V-Paul. How are you?
Hi, Josh. You there?
I am here.
Okay, good to have you on board, Josh. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, and for those who don't know, I was just thinking about you before the show, and how many years ago was it when you were a youngster that you used to hunt with Josh and my son and you and I? It was what, back?
You're calling me old now, but...
Well, how about me?
boy, well, you helped raise me back in the day when we all were in Winterport, and, you know, it's been a lot of years. I'm 48 now, so...
So that would have been 40...
Long time ago.
30 more than... Maybe 40 years ago. Wow. Hard to believe. Wow. Time flies. Hey, tell us about your Josh Platt. Tell us, you live in the Augusta area. You're an avid deer hunter. And is this your first bull permit?
This is my third bull permit and my second moose.
You got to be kidding. Your third permit?
Yep.
Wow. Some of these people are so lucky. Well, tell us about your adventure.
We had a great time. A friend of mine hunted Zone 4 last year, one of the guys that was on my hunt this year. And so we had a little head start up there. Did 3 days of scouting and found this big bull on Sunday afternoon, probably, I don't know, 40 miles from camp or so.
Yeah.
And we headed out there. We had a long discussion at dinner on Sunday evening about which direction we were going to go. We had some other great spots closer to camp, but we decided to go for the big one. And we'd seen him with a cow that afternoon, and he was right with her. I think she was in heat, and he wasn't going to leave her, we felt. So.
Yeah. And did you do any calling?
No, but we quartered the bull and brought him out in pieces, so we weren't tied to having to get him out with a vehicle or hunting the roads or anything like that.
So you were free to go where you wanted to because you're going to quarter him up. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, more people should do that. I've written articles about that. I quartered up my one bull, and it worked out good. And it's a great way to get your animal out of the woods without getting a heart attack or hernia, right?
Yeah, I mean, you are still plenty exerting to drag out 500 pounds of meat. But anyway, it is the way to do it, in my opinion, because it opens up so much country to you. I mean,
Think
about all the moose country that never gets hunted because people feel like they have to, you know, reach it with a rope or a chain or their vehicle.
Yeah.
It just makes things a lot easier if you can pull them out and you're, you know, able to do that. But it opened up, you know, all the country in the world to us, and we knew we were going to hunt him away from the road, which is where he was, and we went right back in there the first thing on Monday morning and headed up. He hadn't crossed the road, at least where we'd seen him the day before, so we felt like he was probably still in there with that cow.
Yeah.
And we made it almost 0.4 mile straight in from the road up a series of twitch roads. It was woods, but it had been selectively cut.
Yeah.
And a couple of big cows ran by us at about 75 yards. We didn't realize at the time, but what had happened, we talked to the guys that had actually bumped those cows down on the road, and those cows had run right through where my bull and cow were up the hill. We'd actually heard him raking trees just before we had the cows come through. And what happened was when they came through where the other two moose were, they all kind of formed this big choo-choo train and headed off together, figuring something was wrong. So long story short, he came by me at about 70 yards, and I knew they were coming. I could hear him coming, and I could see him coming down the hill, and he got to about 70 yards, and that cow, she was the smaller of the three cows, the one we'd seen the day before. He was still with her, and they stopped at about 70 yards, and I had to adjust a little bit, but I finally found a good opening and and put him down right there.
So oh, great.
That's when the real work began.
Oh, you bet. And how much did he weigh, roughly? You know, any idea?
Well, we didn't get him into a scale, obviously.
Yeah.
We brought him out in pieces, but we figure between 850 and 900.
Now, when you bring a quartered critter like that to a tagging station, you're probably one of few to do that. Is there any problem with the tagging station?
No, you have to leave identification of sex on one of the quarters.
Yeah.
But basically, I had a big insulated box that I brought up there, and once we had him back to camp, we put him in there. I had 30 frozen gallons of ice.
Oh boy, good for you.
Put the quarters in the box, and then just shut it, closed it up tight.
Yeah.
And we stayed up there for a couple more days and bird hunted and checked out some country. But when I brought it to the tagging station, I just had to open the box and show them the quarters.
Yeah.
And of course, I had the head with me, and they tagged it, and we were on our way.
All right. Hey, we're up against the clock. I wish we weren't. I could talk hunting all day, but we got other guests lined up. Josh, congratulations to you, and I'm proud of you. You did a great job, man.
I appreciate that, Paul. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck to you, and thanks for being on the show.
Take care, guys.
Take care. Yep. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to be hooking up with some great... What about all these people, Norm, getting these moose tags, huh?
Something tells me they're connected.
I don't know.
I only waited about 20 years, 23 years before I got mine.
Yeah, so. That's great. Anyway, we'll be talking to Dave Trahan in just a couple of minutes. We'll take a break right now, and then we'll be back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and as promised, we're going to hook up here with Dave Trahan, who's the executive director of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. Are you there, Dave?
I am, Paul.
Good evening.
Thanks for having me on.
Good evening to you, and nice to have you aboard. We're pleased to have you here. I'd like to set the stage a little bit, if I could, real quick here, Dave. As you might know, I think you know me well enough to know, I'm kind of a news junkie. And so I follow all the political comings and goings and the debates and so forth. And one of the things that struck me in the last month or more is that the issue of gun rights and the Second Amendment has been conspicuously absent from any of the national news coverage, never a question at any of the debates or the town halls. It's like it just sort of fell under the radar. And so I thought it might be appropriate to have you on. I know that you're concerned, and I know Sam is concerned about political candidates and their stands on gun issues and the Second Amendment. So I thought it might be appropriate to maybe enlighten our listeners a little bit and have you come on board and tell us about Sam's concerns with these issues.
Yeah, sure. I'm only going to concentrate on one race because I know I only have a little bit of time, but I'll tell you why you haven't heard anything about the Second Amendment issues. You know, back when Beto O'Rourke was running in the primary,
right,
he was talking about gun confiscation and coming to get your AR-15. If you remember right, Michael Bloomberg then entered the race and Beto O'Rourke disappeared. After that, the folks that are pushing Speaker Gideon's election to the Maine Senate, or I should say the United States Senate, they committed twice as much money as they had in the previous election to elect pro-gun control candidates, and Speaker Gideon was one of their chosen candidates.
So control is a pet issue of Bloomberg, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He is the national spear point for gun control in this country, and he's spending hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money to get it for two organizations, Moms Demand Action and Every Town, for gun safety. And Speaker Gideon is one of his candidates that he's spending a lot of money on to get elected.
So do you know for a fact that he is bankrolling her candidacy?
Yes, I do.
You do?
He announced that early on in the election.
Yeah.
The main media knows it. The reason you haven't heard about gun control in that race between Collins and Gideon is that all of the airtime, all of the TV, all the radio has been bought up. And that was bought up early. No one can get on the radio and TV to talk about, from a Maine perspective, Maine issues.
No kidding.
And that was, I believe, intentional by the campaign. And there's going to be somewhere around $100 million in media purchased in Maine from mostly the Democrat side of that. And the other part of that is that I believe the media in Maine is pro-gun control. So why would they bring up a subject like gun control they thought might hurt Speaker Gideon in her election.
Yeah. Well, it isn't only Maine. I mean, in the national discussion, national debates, in the TV coverage, in the large prestigious newspapers, it's completely under the radar. You don't hear about it at all.
Well, it's because Beto O'Rourke blew everything up when he said, "We're going to come for your ARs. We're going to confiscate them."
Yeah.
And I think they wanted that subject to go away because they wanted a Democrat majority in the U.S. Senate. Now, I want to get back to the Speaker Gideon positions. She sent in her SAM questionnaire, and I asked 13 questions on firearm issues.
Now, you do this with all the candidates, not just Gideon,
we do,
right?
Yes, yeah. We do it with all the candidates.
And you rate them to try to figure out if they're sportsman-friendly, right?
Exactly, yeah. Or Second Amendment-friendly, too.
Right.
And I've evaluated in my 8 or so years at SAM, I've evaluated probably over 1,000 candidate questionnaires.
Mm-hmm.
And out of those 1,000, I have never seen one as bad as Speaker Gideon's on guns.
No kidding.
Yeah, the worst one I've ever seen. And I've said it several times in the media, but it hasn't been picked up. She's the most extreme gun control candidate to ever run.
Ever?
Ever run for statewide office in Maine.
Mm. And have you?
And I can back that up.
Have you written any op-ed pieces for the mainstream media?
Yes, I have. I've done multiple radio programs. I've done several social media blitzes. I've got 150,000 pieces of mail going out in the next 3 days. So I'm doing my part to get the word out. But the mainstream media will not ask Speaker Gideon a single question, or Senator Collins, for that matter, on guns. Now, Speaker Gideon, I want to touch on a couple of policies that will destroy the firearm community in this country. I'll start with she supports getting rid of the civil protections that firearm manufacturers have.
Right.
If you use a firearm in a crime, right now the company that made the firearm, you can't sue them. The Democrats, some gun control advocates on the Democrat side, have been trying to get rid of those civil protections because they know lawyers can sue manufacturers out of business. And no manufacturer could exist in the United States if that protection was taken away, and they know it.
And so Gideon wants to take away that protection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also supports the most draconian red flag laws that's being put forward in other parts of the country. She supports banning semi-automatic firearms, certain semi-automatic firearms. She wants to reduce magazine capacity to 10. She wants expanded background checks to private sales, raising the age to 21 to purchase a handgun or a semi-automatic firearm. And I was surprised. She's also undecided on whether you should have a license to purchase firearms and ammunition. So in other words, not just a background check. You'd have to have an additional series of tests that would be government approved. And then you'd have to get a license to buy ammunition.
To purchase ammunition or firearms?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Both.
Wow.
She also wants to use a Consumer Product Safety Commission to issue safety standards for firearms and firearm components. And what that would do is, again, allow lawyers to sue the pants off of you. If there's some standard that is out there, then it would have to be met. And it would be the basis for litigation in the future.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's just a whole series of things. She also told Moms Demand Action in an online Facebook live video program that I watched, and she said, and I quote, "Here in the state of Maine, gun safety laws are something that has been incredibly challenging to pass. Gun safety legislation needs to be set at the federal level." And then she went on to say, "Send me to Washington so I can ban assault weapons and do so much more." Now, on its face value, you might go, what's wrong with that? Let me tell you what's wrong with that, Paul. When you're a senator for a state, you're elected by the people there. If the people there aren't passing gun control legislation, whether you like it or not, that's the way it works. She's saying, well, I can't get it done here in Maine, so send me to Washington so I can do it down there, and then shove it down our throat.
Right. Now, you rate these candidates like A through F, as I recall.
She got an F.
She got an F? Who is the last candidate you recall to get an F from the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine? Has there been one?
I've never done it in the higher races like governor and Congress and senators. We've never done that.
You've never given.
I think Shelley Pingree might have gotten a really bad grade once before.
Yeah,
Congressman Pingree. But I can tell you, like I said, in the time I've been at SAM, I've never seen a question near that bad.
Wow.
And it's so frustrating for me because I was expecting a debate where firearm issues would come up and the main people could see the, you know, the full picture.
Now, did you – I didn't watch any of the debates between Senator Collins and Speaker Gideon. Was that subject not broached at all?
I watched as much of those debates, and it never came up.
Yeah.
I never saw it come up. What is going on, though, is you can't get the word out, and I think it's intentional. All the time's been purchased. I called a radio station. I have a consultant I'm dealing with to help us try to get the word out, and I asked my consultant if I could get on the radio, and he said, you couldn't afford it. And I said, well, I've got a little bit of money, and he said, trust me, you cannot afford to go on TV or radio.
Yeah. Wow. Now, what about Senator Collins? How did she get her rating? What was her rating on gun issues?
Well, we gave her an A+.
Yeah.
The reason we gave her the plus part of that is she's got an extensive record on conservation that's unmatched. She's been a leader for us on securing federal funding for land conservation, for wildlife protection. There's so many projects, the Penobscot Restoration Project, Coal Stream, protection of deer yards, you name it. I wrote an op-ed for the KJ, and I got to be honest with you, the list of awards and projects she's worked on
are right.
So extensive. I mean, I could go on online. But so she got it. Now, Senator Collins can be a little frustrating for some people, and I don't always agree with her. But we believe we have a much better opportunity with Senator Collins than we do with the Speaker Gideon being elected to the U.S. Senate.
Now, if we have any sportsmen listening who are planning to support the Biden-Harris ticket and you have a point of view you'd like to get across, you can call us at 1-800-966-1039. I think we had a call, didn't we, Norm?
We had a caller, but Chad was his name, and he was just thankful that this issue came up on the air this evening.
So at this point, has Speaker Gideon responded to the rating, the abysmal rating she received from SAM?
No, we're doing our own radio program on Tuesday of next week, and I invited her to come on, and I've got no answer from her.
Yeah.
Every time we've tried to call her out on some of these issues, I was on VOM radio, challenged her really hard on the radio, and it's just been dead silence.
Yeah.
And she knows that she's better off to not bring it up because there's no way for us to talk about it if she doesn't bring it up.
And I think the media has obviously been complicit in this because the subject doesn't get broached anywhere that I could see on any of the national debates or any of the media dialogue. It's just not there.
No.
It's like it disappeared.
No.
Yeah.
One of the things your listeners need, I think it's important to understand, is policies where you make firearms illegal, there's only a few ways to enforce that, which includes confiscation of firearms, destroying firearms. When they're illegal, there has to be an enforcement mechanism. So these things that she supports, like magazine capacity, they make hundreds of thousands of firearms illegal that are now currently owned by citizens of this country and of Maine. These policies have implications that are dramatic.
Sweeping, yeah.
Yeah, and we can't talk about them because nobody will bring them up other than a few groups like Gun Owners of Maine, us, and even the NRA has been absent. I haven't seen much from them.
Yeah.
I know that they're concerned, but...
Well, they did say, NRA did put out a statement saying that if the Biden-Harris ticket would dismantle the Second Amendment. They did say that.
Well, I'm glad that they did. I know they're fighting in court. I think that was also intentional right before an election to drag the NRA into court and try to sue them out of their nonprofit status.
Yeah.
This is Michael Bloomberg he's got all the cylinders going.
He's a bad hombre. Yeah. How much time do we have left, engineer? A couple minutes?
We got a couple minutes.
I've got to take a real quick break here for a short commercial, Dave. Can you hang on?
Sure.
All right. We'll have time for a closing thought from you, I believe. Just want to remind you real quickly, this program is sponsored in part every week by General Appliance and Brewer, a place to go for all of your appliance needs, ranges, refrigerators, top-of-the-line compost toilets.
Right the way, baby.
And that's at 91 Center Street in Brewer. Remember, they have new and used appliances. They service and stand behind everything they sell. Give Al a call at 989-3714 and patronize them as we do. General Appliance in Brewer. Still there, Dave?
2.5 minutes.
Yes, I am.
Okay, we have a little time left here. Any thoughts? I tell you what. Let's say you were sitting down having a chat with a sportsman who is supporting the Biden-Harris ticket. The sportsman who enjoyed hunting, was a recreational shooter. A civil chat. What would you say to that person?
I would say to that person, you live in the safest place in the country to live, the state of Maine. And that these individuals that are pushing this gun control, they don't want to just do gun safety legislation. They want your guns. I mean, when Speaker Gideon is their champion, their point person to go out there from the state of Maine, a state that has a deep tradition in living safely with their firearms, why in the world we send to Washington somebody that wants to just destroy that culture that involves the legal and the law-abiding citizen owning firearms for self-protection, for hunting? If that's your issue, the Second Amendment and firearm ownership, I cannot think of a worse candidate to be running for office right now than Speaker Gideon.
And somebody was saying, too, that if the Biden-Harris ticket is successful, that Beto O'Rourke, the colossal gun grabber, is going to be appointed the point man for gun control in that administration. I mean, that's truly frightening.
The fear that I have is that right now the House is a strong majority of Democrats who already have said they want gun control. The U.S. Senate could tip to the Democrat majority with a Speaker victory, Speaker Gideon victory.
Right.
And then with a Biden-Harris ticket, you just have a clean sweep. And
yeah.
The path to draconian gun control legislation goes right through the White House.
Okay. Well, I encourage you as the Speaker of, as the Director of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, get after those media people. Get this thing back on the radar, would you?
I'm trying. Thank you for bringing the subject up.
Okay, Dave, it's really nice to have you on board.
You too.
And we appreciate you sharing that information with us here.
Sure. Thank you.
Take care. All right. You heard it right here on Maine Outdoors, and we appreciate you being aboard tonight. We think we enjoyed talking to the moose hunters. And next week, we're going to be talking to Kyle Wentworth, who's a spokesman for the MASTC, and Norm knows what that stands for, but I can't remember. Right?
Don't hold
Maine,
me to it.
Maine Antler Skull Trophy Club. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And we're out of time.
We are.
Thank you for being with us, and we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.
October is National Karastan Month, and Salibas in Bangor is taking 10% off Karastan carpet and 20% off all area rugs by 7 different manufacturers. 10% off Karastan, 20% off all area rugs now through October 30th at Salibas Rug Sales, 2 Pleasant Street, Bangor, and Salibas.com.
Now back to the debate.
Oh, come on, man. I never said I'd ban anything. I'm the one that said get a shotgun.
And where are you going to get that shotgun, Joe? I'll tell you where. A&G Shooting. I mean, really, have you seen their new location? Right off the highway in Fairfield. Shotguns, handguns, AR-15s. They got a huge selection of guns. Believe me. A&G Shooting, a great American company. You should stop in there, Sleepy Joe. You might learn something.
Come on, man.